to mummies, grandmas, sisters, aunties, girlfriends, and wives everywhere. We're celebrating you, lady, and all the women who paved your path up until this moment. Please, before the month ends, take time to reflect on the women who came before you and hold a space of gratitude for all the good that they have deposited in your life. Don't forget all the sacrifices they have made for you, at the risk of their own comfort and happiness. And please, darling, let go of the bitterness, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, and the resentment that they have also passed on to you. Today, all entanglements that have been choking your life force, all abuse that has stolen your innocence, all abandonment and loss that has wounded you deeply, all words that has entrapped you in destructive cycles, now loose their grip and set you free forever. In Christ's name, amen. Queens, I have a burning question. Let's go back to our single days. You know Veronica Parkin, Claudia Ramharak, and Tina Samuels? You know the Miss before the Misses? The independent divas with the external confidence? Did you ever dream of getting married?
No.
Shh. No, sir.
Ladies, me three. Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean Queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Last week's discussion, people have been reaching out to us asking how they can leave a review or comment. Well, if you go to our Facebook page at The Beloved Queens, there's a post with a link, and if you click on that link, it will lead you to Apple Podcast, and you can leave a review there. First, it will ask you to rate the podcast from 1 to 5 stars, and below that, if you scroll down, you will see an icon that says write a review. If you have an iPhone, it's pretty simple. For my Android friends, however, we'll leave a link for you as well with the instructions for how to do that. Special thanks to Queen Charmaine for running our social media pages and her King Seymour for the Here Comes the Bride Reggae Edition. So when we first came to America, we came to New York, New York. Brooklyn is where I lived for a long time, and that's where I did my degree, graduated from college. Most of my family is still there. I've been here for more than 2 decades. How long have you been in America, ladies?
33 years.
Wow, I think 26 years this year.
So for the listeners, professionally, Queen Trina runs a business, Queen V crunches numbers, and I'm a storyteller. Yet becoming wifey, the term of endearment for wives in Jamaica, would you say it was our most transformational role?
Ha! Took most of you except for when you were a mom. Well, yeah, the role, the wife, oh, that take a lot.
Woo! It was most challenging role I've ever had. It was fighting against everything that I was taught to be a woman.
Wow, wow, that sound deep. But none of us had a proper roadmap, my friends. We learned from the school of hard knocks.
It's a hard knock life for us.
Today's discussion is juicy, all right?
The road to getting a ring.
Queen Trina has been married for more than 2 decades. Queen V and I are close behind her. Today we're discussing how 3 unlikely suspects became somebody's queen. So Queen V, let's start with you this time around.
Oh, Lord.
Your proposal story was very, very different. You had been dating your boyfriend at the time for quite a number of years, call it sweethearts, right?
Yeah.
So when he thought it was time to take it to the next level, that shouldn't have been weird. Yet it was. Paint the picture and walk us through your response.
All right. No, don't laugh after me. Listen. To everybody else, it seemed like common sense, right? Here I was. I think it was maybe year 5 or 6. I'm fine being a girlfriend. Marriage was not even a thought. Like, for me, it wasn't even a goal. It never even did even register, say, oh, you're supposed to get married. No, 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 no. I am good. We good? We good. You would think, you know, girls would want to be get married and plan their wedding. No, not me. So when the poor man, God bless him, decided that he was going to ask me, little old me, to get married, the first thing, like, you know, when you're supposed to have that, oh my gosh, he's asking me, you know what come out of my mouth? You know, said one away after dead, right? I swear to God, that was the first thing come out of my mouth.
It wasn't, oh my goodness.
It wasn't a, oh my, I can't believe, or what? Yes, I will. No, the first statement that left my mouth after will you marry me is, one of us has to die in order for this to work, because there will not be a divorce. Now, it's not that I didn't see marriage in my family to know that marriage is the next step. My aunts were married, but they weren't living with me. So my environment was just made up of single women. So it wasn't, you know, anything that I needed to aim towards. And again, remember from our episode in our class, there were what, 3 people out of a class of 24, 21 kids that came from a 2-parent household. So again, marriage was not in my environment. So when the poor man, poor God bless him, again, ask, it wasn't a thing for me to jump and be happy. I was just thinking, okay, so if I'm going to do this, you know, the logic in me, all right, we will never get a divorce because I'm not doing this again.
But why is divorce the first thing that kind of came to your mind when all he was saying was, let's get together?
I have no idea. It wasn't like, because I know, as much as I was never thinking about marriage, I know most marriages ended in divorce. You always hear statistics. And again, I'm a numbers person. So, you know, anything with statistics, my ears are keen. So you always hear the statistics about 50% of marriages end in divorce. So I just didn't want to become a statistic. Not that the statistic isn't half and half. Why wouldn't I want to be the half that made it? All I'm thinking about is the half that didn't. And I am not going to be in the half that didn't. It is until death do us part. Mine is not the fairy tale Cinderella. Not mine. Well, at least not mine. So for us to be what? 19 years strong? Only God.
And you know what's so funny? He didn't give you any reason to mistrust him. You know what I'm saying?
No, and that's the thing. It's not that it had nothing to do with him. That's how you know you have some deep-rooted issues. Because it had nothing to do with this poor man. It wasn't his fault. He didn't show any, he didn't give, as you said, no reason to doubt, no reason to say that this wasn't going to work. It was just, you know, unresolved issues.
Let me switch over to Queen Trina. Maybe we have a different situation over this side. Queen Trina, proposal story, please.
Okay. Well, at the time, hubby and I were in a long-distance relationship, and it was 5 years in. I came down to visit. I was living in New York at the time, and I came down to visit him in Atlanta. It was my birthday weekend, so I'm thinking we're going to hang out, have fun, and party. And we were getting ready to go out for the evening. And I remember sitting in his friend's living room, and he got down on one knee. And in my head, nothing was registering like, oh, I'm being proposed to. It was more like, okay, so I wonder what he's doing. Seriously, I really did. It wasn't connecting that he's proposing. But when he started talking, I was like, oh my God, he's proposing. And let me tell you, I'm being honest, ladies. The first thing came to mind was my plan A and my plan B. A was like, girl, you're going to say yes, but you still got time because you still live in New York. So if you change your mind, that's good too. So that was
always a plan
B. Wow.
Always a plan A and B.
Wow.
Yes. Needless
to say,
that's
deep.
That's so deep. So deep. In the midst of it, again, like Veronica said, deep trust issues, girl, deep-rooted with men, dealing with issues with men.
I know you're listening, and what I want you to do as you listen along with us, just go on our Facebook page at The Beloved Queens and type in the comment, are you on, which one are you? Are you on hashtag team always dreamed of marriage, or are you on the team never dreamed of marriage? For me, my king patiently and firmly stood by me until my shattered heart mended. I tried everything to sabotage the relationship and push him away, because in my mind, I tightly held on to my childhood narrative that all men leave.
Daddy issues. Woo!
Woo-wee.
Tore up from the floor up, girls. Tore up from the floor up. Yet, this guy was like a rock. He wasn't going anywhere. He was kind of the first man to really show me true commitment. Because up until that point, it's only God alone couldn't fail. So, if you ain't God, I expected you to fail. Right, Queen V? Wasn't that pretty much what we learned about trust?
Yeah, and that's hard because how are you going to put up anybody against God?
They're not pass. And so with confident women protectors and providers going to an all-girls high school while having these father issues, like with them not being around, you know, trusting women wasn't an issue for us, but men? Because our dads were MIA, oh my gosh, it was hard. Ladies, about that part.
I'll go first, and I am the first to say that I had my 80-20 rule. Now, ladies, do not, and I repeat, it's not a good thing to have, where you trust the man 80%, but 20%, you're like, if him even do something with my gun.
Okay, it is not a good thing. 80-20%. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, I kept on saying, I know this man loved me. Here I am married. And he's given me no reason not to trust him. But yet still, I couldn't give him no more than 80%. Because in my mind, that was 100. Okay? That was my 100%, ladies. What? That was 100 for me. The man before him only got 50. So shoot, he up there.
Why he got enough?
Wow. Queen V, you're the mathematician among us.
Listen, that 8% those numbers
is no. Right there are so
8% is 30% more than the 50 that the former person
tell
had.
Tell him, Veronica. Yes, tell him.
So what did you do, V? What was your... She had an 80-20 situation. We were out the door. 20. You did one thing, slip your slide. Done. What's your situation?
I think it was always testing him indirectly. It was almost like you are trying to see if he will stay. And you're not... Sometimes you're conscious. Well, sometimes I was conscious of it. And sometimes I was not conscious of it. Because you knew that if I do this and he leaves, he's going to prove me right that, you know, men just come in for a while and then they're going to leave. They don't stay and, you know, stick it out. So you're always just testing him. And then he constantly has to prove himself. It's almost like, and it's not his fault. And it surely wasn't. It's just almost, again, daddy issues. You're just waiting for him to constantly say, I'm still here. I'm still standing. And every time you do that, you think you're pushing him away, but you stood firm. And it's sad because he's paying the price for something that he had nothing to do with.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? In Jamaica, you was the something, the fat from something and fry. Somebody else fat and fry. That was it. It's you can't be using, and it wasn't past relationships alone. It was the fact that you never saw a consistent male figure in your life.
That's really deep. For me, that's the same thing. You know, men are in and out. They are never standing. They are never rocks. They're just like here today, gone tomorrow. And so for me, I literally had a heartbreak situation. And so I was extremely cautious dating my now husband. You know, I remember literally thinking to myself, I'm not putting my heart where my logics don't go. If this doesn't make sense to me logically, I ain't doing it.
Okay? You're a man.
And that's kind of it's like a manly approach to the whole relationship, because it's like men are all the logical thinkers, right? If then, all the logics of it. Me? Mm-mm. I became this logical female. Manly. Over logical, I should say. So cautious. It's like, if I see proof of this, then I'm doing this. If I see proof of this, then I'm doing that. You know, and yet trust is one of the key pillars of a healthy marriage. So Queen Trina, it sounds like you were not ready, but he was ready. So talk to us about how you got there from dating to the ring. How did you get there?
From the serial dater to the wife.
Okay. Serial dater. This is the first time I'm hearing that one. Get into it.
Okay, I enjoyed the dating process. There's some women out there that don't like dating. I love dating. I loved going out, meeting different people and socializing. So I was dating to socialize, not dating with the intention of trying to find a soulmate or find a husband or a partner to be with. It was fun for me. It was more about being entertained, because that's how I looked at it. It was entertainment for me. I wasn't taking anyone serious. I mean, it took me 2 years of dating my husband to take him seriously.
Like, even.
Wow.
Yeah, because to me, we were just dating, having fun. It took a while. Like, I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Girl, deep-rooted issues, deep-rooted issues.
You know, one of the things I remember, like, dating my husband that he stood firm about, that I really started taking notice, like, he's treating me differently than all the other guys. He was like, yo, I'm not frightened for your pretty looks, my girl. Because I was used to being in control of the relationships that I had in the past. And he was the first man that was like, listen, no, I don't agree with you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Like, he stood firm. He knew what he wanted. And I admired that because I was like, oh, okay. This man knows exactly where he's going and what he has planned for his life. I felt like it was someone that I can start open up to. And hence why he got the 80%, ladies, 80%.
You're 100, Tina. Okay. You're 100.
Listen. That was my 100%. He got 80. He had me there.
Wow.
I can honestly say my husband is the first man that I started trusting. And that was a big deal for me.
Wow. That's kind of deep. I had to pause for that one.
Yes. Stick up here.
Wow. So, all right. In your opinion, did he pick you or you picked him?
Oh, he definitely picked me. I was nowhere ready. I was having fun. I think he knew what he wanted. When we started dating, he would make comments and stuff. And I'm like, oh, when we get old, we're going to laugh about this. I'm like, when we get old, what are you talking about? Like, what? How do you know that? He's talking about future, and I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? We're here right now. Let's see how this plays out. Definitely think he picked me.
Wow. And do you think, like, do you know why he, what was it about you?
He actually had a conversation with our daughter, a couple months ago about why he picked me, and I overheard the conversation. Where he said he noticed the way that I would treat my siblings along with my cousin, how nurturing I was toward them. And he knew I would be a good mother for his kids because he always saw himself having kids. Interestingly enough, he said he wasn't sure about the wife part. He wasn't thinking about wife, but he knew he wanted kids. And he saw that nurturing side in me. And I guess that was one of the reasons why, you know, he decided to make me his wife.
Wow. V, what about you?
I'm sure he picked me because, again, I was just dating too.
Forever with no end,
right? But I'm trying to remember why, and now I overheard him telling a friend. Again, I met my husband in college. So I think there was a day we were at school and think, you know, we always stay late at school to do some form of project. We always have stuff to do in the computer labs. And he wanted something. And I just, I guess, volunteered or I was just like, oh, here. And for him, that was just a gesture of giving without, you know, needing anything else from him, not asking why he needed it or looking for anything in return, just giving out of kindness. I just did it out of reflex, actually. It shifted something in him and he thought, oh, wow. That person is different. I've never met anyone who would do something like that for me. And he was telling this friend about it. And I was like thinking, dang, what kind of friends you have? not like, oh, that's nice. Again, something wrong with me, people. Don't judge. Don't judge. But yeah. Yes, I'm under construction.
Aren't we all?
For me, though, I don't think I consciously picked babes, but I had to go through some major heart healing. And part of that was, you know, journaling. And it's interesting because when I found my journal years later, like literally probably last year, I realized I wrote a list, like a comprehensive list of all the things that I did not want in a man. And you know how some women have like a physical list of, oh, he has to have bow legs and he has to have this and whatnot. My list was character based. And for starters, I didn't want someone who was two-faced. Authenticity was very like at the top of my list. It was so important to me. Also, I just, you know, that inauthenticity, I can't deal with it. It's like authenticity is number one. I don't want the person to be this one person in public and another person in private, and you just don't know who they are. I had reliable on that list, and I'm telling you, literally, I think it was not 2020, but probably 2019, I found the journal again, and it dawned on me that my husband is the complete manifestation of my
list. That's amazing.
You know, it blew my mind how God can choose for you when you, you know, when you just don't really know what to choose. Because I'm telling you, at that time, I was in a healing process because I was so broken. Part of me learning how to love again was love just felt love. I just didn't believe in love anymore. And I felt like love was a threat during dating. I remember I would warn my husband. He was my boyfriend at the time. And I'd be like, the day you tell me you love me, I am done.
Yeah, check the money if him love you, no man.
Boy.
He thinks that me did bad, but right. That beat.
Don't want to take the cake, no, Tina.
Love is not real. Love is not real. So I literally have to be... I literally had to learn to love again. And is a process that God took me through, you know, where he showed me. I remember one day I was sitting on my bed and I had to read like 1 Corinthians 13. You know that little love chapter about love is this, love is that. It's not this. It's like about 17 things or characteristics of what love is and what it's not. And I looked at that thing and I was like, whoops, I guess I wasn't in love before. Because that list alone made me realize that people think love is one thing, but it's really character-based. It's really character-based. But as girls, we learn so much independence from the women in our lives. I wonder, did you realize when you said yes, interdependence is what you were signing up for,
oh,
Trina?
No, definitely not. 80-20%, ladies, 80-20%. So I just knew... I just knew I had my plan B, okay, and I had my 80-20, so I felt I was not going to be dependent on nobody. I was still going to be me. It was, we were just coming together, yes, but there was still going to be me, the individual. I just knew that going in. I had no idea what that word meant. Okay.
Wow. For me, I knew. Listen, my mom, shoo. First of all, my mom got a heartbreak from I was born, I guess. And after that, she rejected every opportunity that came her way to get married again. So, first of all, you know how Veronica was saying that she didn't want to be a statistic with the divorce? I did not want to repeat a cycle of not getting married because one person hurt me. Grandma, on the other hand, she was married to Jesus, so forget men. She would say, from 1961, I don't have a man. I got Jesus and that's enough. She just...
What?
Me never even born yet. Yet, with all your fears and doubts of men, ladies, what made you agree to say yes to him? Veronica, queen.
Well, it's for all of us. I think one of the main reasons we all said yes is because this person we are married to, they showed us what we never saw. They were consistent. That's what was missing in our lives, and they are the only ones that showed it.
Ah, boy, it sounds like when you get married, the work don't stop. It look like it's just start. Would you agree, Trina?
Oh, yes. The journey begins, ladies. That's when the journey begins.
So if becoming a wife takes so much work, is meeting the king and riding off into happily ever after just a myth?
Lies.
Let's dive. Let's dive into that next in MMBS.
The Beloved Queens podcast continues after the break. Soon forward.
This week's Empress shout-out goes to Miss Rose with Horizons Event Center. Visit them at 4990 Jimmy Carter Boulevard, Norcross, Georgia, or horizonseventcenter.com. If you need a venue for your wedding, call Miss Rose for 470-299-6349. 470-299-6349. They can host your events, seminars, classes, and like I said, even your wedding. So call Miss Rose today. She'll take good care of you. We salute you, Empress Rose. Glad you're back with us. This is the Marriage Mythbuster segment, MMBS for short. Before the break, we discussed the drama of our proposals, the road to becoming wives. So many ladies out there expect this. Meet the man, get the ring, ride off into the sunset, and live happily ever after. Queen V, myth or truth?
Lies. This ain't no Cinderella. Where you think that is going to happen? Seriously? I want to watch too much Cinderella story. Read Mills and Booms and I want to listen to Fabio and none of that. No, go so.
Let me tell you, those romance novels were my BFFs. I still read them as a matter of fact. So that, let me tell you, I'm guilty of that. I am so guilty of that. The fantasy.
Yep. Okay. What about the idea from independent women teaching their daughters, you don't need a man? I got that messaging too, though unintentionally. What did you discover in your own journey in terms of what a man looks for in the person they choose to marry?
When you talk about not needing a man and being independent, because I was raised in that environment of independent women. They never said not to get married. Like my environment wasn't like the ladies, my aunts and everyone that I grew up with, they never said never not to get married and be independent. But action speaks louder than words. If I'm growing up and I'm seeing you do it, and I see it seem to me, it looks seamless, I can do that too. So they might not be intentionally telling me to go down this route, but unintentionally, I am getting the lesson that, oh, they can be bad by themselves, so I can be bad by myself. I don't need a man. So you end up thinking, okay, I can always be, you know, independent. I don't need a man to be happy. I don't need a man to have a child. Seriously, something did really wrong with me. I really just wanted a child and not a man. You know, so something did wrong with me. But you know, you see it happening around you, so you say they did it, so I can do it too. But back to your question, with regards to what man looks for in a person they choose to marry, just as how we always hear about women having intuition, but I think God gives all human that intuition, that instinct, and men have that in them as well. So they sense something from their mate that men like to provide, protect, and profess. So they're looking to fulfill all those three. So one of the things they do is if they see that they can provide for this person or protect them, they're drawn to them. So if you have this, I can do bad by myself and I don't need a man. Okay, you will never attract one. Because where is that void for that male to fulfill? Where is that void for him to step in and be like, okay, maybe I can't provide for her, but maybe I can protect her. But if you're like, I work out, I can do this, I know karate, I make my own money, I do, you know, you covered all the bases. So, okay, there's no room for me here. So the man is not going to be attracted to you. And another thing is, men can be, we can be dismissal and we block our blessing that way. We don't see the person in the package that they're supposed to come in. So, you know, we're looking for that fairy tale, and if it's not in that package, we dismiss it because we don't recognize it and we reject it. When you reject guys too, you really crush them. Do you like to be rejected? Men have feelings too, and a lot of times we don't, because we are hard, we grow up hard, and we don't think that the male species have feelings. And when we reject them, you know, they have feelings too. They're not going to want to be with someone who puts them down or reject them.
Wow. And if worse, if they can't see that, where they can succeed with you.
Oof. Oh yeah,
talk about that.
But why would they? If you can't succeed, why would you go there? You know, it's that whole thing, you know, that scene in the club where the guys are on one side, the ladies on the other side, and you know, if he doesn't think that if he approaches you, he's going to be successful. But that chick comes in and she might not look the same, but she has that confidence but she's more approachable. Men are going to gravitate towards that because they're more likely to be successful with that person than that one that you might think is, you know, we'll call stuck up. You know, you think that you're all that, but if you're not smiling and you're not approachable, no one's gonna, they don't want, again, rejection. They don't want that. And he doesn't want to fail in front of you. So.
There we go. That part. Always wanting to make sure that he doesn't fail. Guys, I'm going to read the definition of need for you. It means require something because it is essential or very important. Okay? And our sweet Queen Trina, she's always doing detective work behind the scenes because she wants to learn, so she asks other men. And she talked to a man the other day. Tell us, Trina, about... She asked him, like, the opinion about how a woman can make him feel needed. And the response was just very interesting. Queen Trina, you want to tell us about the interview?
Yes. Well, the first thing he said to me was, a man needs to have a purpose in your life. So if there's no purpose for him, there's no reason for him to be there. So...
you know, Veronica mentioned this earlier about if you're there being strong and I don't need you attitude, and, you know, a simple thing as opening up the door for you, you're offended by, or the doorbell rings and he would like to go open the door. And you're like, oh, I got it. You ain't got to worry about it. It's, you know, he needs to feel like he is protecting you. You know, he's able to do something for you that makes him feel that's his purpose for being there in your space with you, especially in a marriage, in a household. You have to be able to be open up to your husband, to be honest and to be able to talk to him, even if you know there's some hurt and pain that's going to come out of it. But he needs to feel that you are able to be honest with him. You know, this guy that I interviewed, he said that he can sense if you're not being authentic. So it's interesting, Veronica, Tina, I think you mentioned this earlier about wanting someone authentic. He referred to that. He needs a woman in his life that's going to be authentic because he can sense if you're not. Wow. And he needs that. He needs to feel that comfort of knowing you're being yourself and I can be myself. Mm. You know, there are a couple of things that we probably can post on the social media, or you want me to continue going down the interview list?
I mean, you could want maybe just touch on the tone and how to talk, you know.
Oh, yes. No. And ladies, let me tell you, being coming from the school of Claudette Adams, that's my mom. yes. She was rough around the edges, to say the least. And I think that, I mean, I picked that up because you do what, you know what I mean? You do what you know. So I had to watch my tone. And I know I'm not alone, ladies. Don't leave me hanging out there.
No, Trina, you're not alone.
No, you're not. You're not. My husband live for say, you know what?
My husband's a term would be finesse, honey. Finesse.
Finesse. Okay. So we all have to be careful of how we are speaking to our partners. It is so important to them, because if you're making them feel like a kid, who wants to feel like a kid?
Not a man.
Not a man. Definitely not a man. Who wants to be like, feel like you're belittling them? You're nagging them? Because that's not a safe haven. I come home, I need to feel like I'm in a safe space, not constantly going back and forth and arguing. And so, ladies, we need to watch our tone and how we speak to the men in our lives, period, because it starts with our children. We got to be careful with how we speak to our children,
too. Oh,
wow,
yeah, that's true.
You know? Yes! You know, we have to be careful, especially raising male young men. We have got to be careful how we talk to them.
Because the point is, you just never want to break these people.
You
know?
Don't want to break them.
And the tone can either make
words are powerful.
Or break. Mm-hmm. But then, could we as a society of Black women misunderstand what needing a man looks like, especially those that didn't have their dads around? What do you ladies think about that?
But even with that, I think we have to create it for ourselves, because if we never grew up with dads, we had to reinvent that whole need and what it looks like for us. It had to change. It had to be on an individual basis. For me, it's going to be different than what it is for you guys. For everyone, it's going to show up different. My need might be, oh, wow, he listens to what I say and he remembers. I don't have to, you know, keep telling him what I like, what I need, or he can read my signals. Like, he knows when I'm upset or when I'm, you know, when I'm not myself, or when I'm too quiet, you know, he reads all those things. So for me, that's what I want, what I would look for. And I didn't even know that I would be looking for that. Do you know what I mean? Because if we never had an example, we are actually each day creating our own. This is why I don't like that whole cookie cutter marriage thing, because everyone is different.
Everyone is different. No, you can't look at somebody's marriage and wanna really be their marriage, because we're all unique in our own way. Mm-hmm. And my husband, when I ask him, he's like, listen, every who have them stick a bush, which means we're not going to be all, my marriage will never look like Veronica's. My marriage will never look like Trina's. It's just, we have a unique situation with the person that God has blessed us with, you know. But in what is consistent about it is that we have to demonstrate to our men that they are essential and they're appreciated. And so what the queens are going to do, we're going to add a queen's list or ideas on how to show your man some appreciation, how to encourage them on our social media page.
One of the reasons when I knew that this guy was different was my husband had a friend who passed away, you know, in a car accident. And I never saw a man cry. And he wasn't ashamed to cry. I never saw an emotional male. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow. That was, I can still picture it even today. Like, it stood out for me because it was something that I never saw before. And I was like, oh, I didn't know men can be emotional. Because as far as I'm concerned, how can men be emotional if they leave their kids? So that can't be right. But here was a male, as macho and as he can be, but showing every ounce of emotion and not being ashamed of it. Oh, threw me for a loop, girl. But I never knew, because again, I was, you know, had so much walls. I was, you know, I wasn't an emotional person. I am not an emotional person. But again, God always give you what you need, not what you want.
And I'm glad God doesn't give us what we want, but he gives us what we need, whether it's in a spouse or it's in just making us uniquely us. So, ladies, remember to appreciate yourselves. The dictionary defines appreciation as recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of someone or something. And also, if you're a wife, if you're a mom, show some appreciation to your children and to your spouse and even your parents if they're still around. Here's a tip. Take note of the good qualities in yourself. Then do something to recognize and celebrate your genius, girl. Don't just gloss over your achievements. Stop and take in the moment to truly be proud of you. Even if it's simple as writing in the mirror with a lipstick, "Queen, I'm proud of you, girl," or saying it to your reflection, "Tina, I'm proud of you." Trust me, as a mom, you're a big deal. As a woman, you're a big deal. As a wife, you're a big deal, girl. And if you don't hear it often enough, honey child, you're amazing. Ladies, let's give our listeners an applause.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everyone, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on our social media @The Beloved Queens. Bye, guys.